about that. We hope that you'll share the burden and pray with us about that. All right. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, let me get you to turn your attention again to the Word of God here. Galatians chapter 6. And let's look at a familiar passage that gives some of the context to the verse that we read at the outset here about having opportunity to do good to all men. In Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, we have what is often called the law of sowing and reaping. You're very familiar with this. Some of you could probably quote this. I hope so. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Amen. Listen, I hope you believe that. I hope you take that at face value as it appears in the Word of God, because if you gotta learn that the hard-headed way, that comes with some very painful lessons. The law of sowing and reaping, basically, it's an agricultural illustration that teaches us about consequences. And I call it a law because it goes all the way, this law, if we could call it that, goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 8. After the flood, the Lord told Noah, there's going to be seed time and there's going to be harvest. That's the way everything works. That's the way God has arranged nature, and not only the natural realm, but the supernatural realm. There is a law of sowing and reaping. Now, I'm sure some of you would love to see this. If Pastor McAfee announced that he's going to defy the law of gravity this Sunday morning, after church, he's going to put on his Superman costume. He's going to climb to the top of the steeple up here, and he is going to take flight. You know what's going to happen? He's going to be badly injured. That's what's going to happen. That might draw a crowd, but it won't be good for the pastor. He'll be sicker then than he is now. That's because you don't violate the law of gravity. The law of gravity doesn't bend for you. It's no respecter of persons, and it's not even personal as far as that goes. Hey, you know, the nice thing about the law of gravity, it keeps you in the seat you're sitting in. Because if you were floating around this, but boy, it would be really, really interesting, church tonight, wouldn't it? If you could stay in the seat that you were in. The law of gravity is not just working against you. It is if you do something dumb like jump off a building. But it's working for you, like when you want to stay in the seat that you're seated in. And the same thing is true about the law of sowing and reaping. We oftentimes think in terms of the law of sowing and reaping as you sow bad seed, you're going to get a bad harvest. And that is absolutely true. There's no exception to that, as a matter of fact. If you put corn in the ground at the beginning of this growing season, you did not get blueberries out of your garden, at least not from where you planted corn. Because that's the way sowing and reaping works. Whatever it is that you sow, that's what you reap. And this concept is not just against you, it's for you. Consequences are unavoidable. And if we'll cooperate with the created order, we can let these laws work in our favor. But if we fight against it by trying to plant bad seed and get a good harvest, you're going to be very frustrated and wore out a lot of the time. Amen. So there are basically three aspects to the law of sowing and reaping. Let me give you this to you quickly, and then we'll take a look at the context in Galatians chapter 6. Three aspects to the law of sowing and reaping. And the first is basically a lesson in responsibility. The first aspect of this law is you reap what you sow. Now that's obvious enough, but what that means is you are responsible for putting the right seed in the ground if you want to get the right harvest out. If you don't like your harvest, you need to check your sowing. Because when you have a continually bad harvest, it's probably not everybody else's fault. There are occasions where an enemy will show up and sow tares among your wheat. But most of the time when you get a bad harvest continually, it's because you're not planting the right seed. Amen. We live in a society that doesn't want to take responsibility for anything. And it's getting worse. The government feels like they now exist to bail out irresponsible people. It's been getting worse and worse and worse and worse. If you are able-bodied and you don't want to work, the Bible says you shouldn't eat. That's the Bible, right? But if you're willing to work, then you can eat. Amen. That is a matter of sowing and reaping. You can only reasonably expect to get out of the ground what you put into the ground. And listen, that's true in every area of life. It's true in your relationship with God. If you're not satisfied with your fellowship with God, you might want to think about what you're putting into it. It's true in your relationship with your spouse. If you're not satisfied with your marriage, you might want to give consideration to what you're investing in the relationship. It's true in your relationship to your children and to your grandchildren and to your siblings and to your parents and to your pastor. If you're not satisfied with what you're getting out of those relationships, you might want to examine the kind of seeds that you're putting into those relationships, because normally whatever you're getting out is just what you're putting in. Amen. And if you don't like the return, you might want to check the investment. When the harvest is unpleasant, usually we have no one to blame but ourselves. That's because you reap what you sow. Second concept is this: we reap more than we sow. If you did, and this is a lesson in productivity. And by the way, again, this works in our favor if we'll cooperate with the law of sowing and reaping. Amen? Now, if you did plant a garden, and you went down to the feed store and you got seed and feed, or the hardware store, wherever you get your seeds from, and you got some sweet corn, some Silver Queen sweet corn, and you plow that row and you lay everything out, you might put one, maybe two seeds in one little old hole. And it'll come up a stalk of corn, right? And that one stalk of corn will produce enough ears of corn to feed your whole family more than a meal. Isn't that a blessing? It is when you're growing corn, because you reap more than you sow. The consequences of our choices tend to compound from planting season to planting season. See, what Judas ultimately reaped was even worse than what he could have ever imagined when he first started planting the seeds as a thief, right? And for that matter, what Joseph ultimately reaped when he went to the palace and then is ultimately restored to his family, it was greater than anything he could have imagined, even when he was faithful as a slave in the house of Potiphar. Because it always grows, right? That, listen, it's true in the financial realm. You want more out, you got to put more in. And if you'll make small investments early on, you will experience some big returns down the road. That idea of compound interest, where that interest builds annually and you keep reinvesting it, and that principle continues to grow and grow and grow and compound over time. You know, it works that way in relationships. So many of us were just, amen, gentlemen, help me here. So many of us were brain dead the first 2 or 3 years we were married, and boy, we reaped it for a few years, didn't we? Amen. Isn't that true? You make some good investments first 2 or 3 years you're married, you'll reap those benefits for 40 and 50 years. Hallelujah. You make the right kind of investments when your kids are 2 and 3, you won't be pulling your hair out when they're 7 and 8 and ready to move up to another country when they're 16 and 17. Amen. Those little investments early on pay big dividends down the road, because we reap more than we sow. And thirdly, we reap later than we sow. So you got a lesson on responsibility, a lesson on productivity, and a lesson on patience. If you did plant a garden, you didn't go out there, put that Silver Queen corn kernel in the ground, cover it up, set it in your lawn chair, and wait for it to produce corn. Well, at least you probably didn't. You didn't do that very comfortably, because you don't sit down and watch it sprout, bud, blossom, and bear fruit all in one sitting. That's not how it works. With some seeds, there's just a few weeks of germinating. With other seeds, it takes years to get the harvest. You know one of our problems? Look at Galatians chapter 6. Look down there at verse 9. I'm going to skip over verse 8 for just a moment. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what happens with a lot of people? They make up their mind, you know what, I'm tired of sowing these bad seeds. I'm going to sow some good seeds. They start to throw some good seed in the ground, and they don't see the immediate results, and they give up prematurely. I spent years preaching in a county jail in Escambia County, Alabama, and I saw this play out over and over and over again. If you've ever done any kind of jail or prison ministry, especially jail ministry, it's almost like a revolving door down there. And you get some guys in there that are very sincere, at least they are when they're incarcerated, And they are the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time you see them in there. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to tell you that with people that have habitual sins and addictions, this is the process that plays out. They put in a wrong seed, wrong seed, wrong seed, wrong seed, and then lo and behold, it all comes out at the same time, and they lose their marriage, they lose their job, they end up incarcerated, they're broken by their circumstances. Maybe they're genuinely repentant in their heart, and they say, I'm tired of living this way. What do I need to do to get right? And they do what they've got to do to get right. Maybe they get saved. Maybe they just get right. Maybe they're already saved. You realize not everybody in the jailhouse is lost. Not everybody in the church house is saved. Amen right there. So maybe they start doing the right thing now. And they start reading their Bible. And they start praying. And they start sowing some good seed. And guess what? Mama don't believe it first time she sees it. She ain't buying that. I've heard this story before. You know, and so they're trying so hard. They're working with. They're putting some of the right seed in the ground, and they're not seeing the results. And then they get out of jail, and they go back out there, and now they start to see some of that fruit come out of the ground. They say, "This is great. This is great." And so they start dabbling in sin again. And so they've got the good harvest that's coming up, and they're starting to sow some good seed, and they don't put it together that the good harvest is from the good seed and that the bad harvest is still coming from the bad seed. They've got a concurrence between the good harvest and the bad seed, and they think they're getting away with their sin, and it's not true. Be not weary in well-doing. You don't fix your marriage overnight. You don't fix your relationship with God overnight. Listen, I'm all for an altar call. But an altar call is not going to fix what's wrong for most of us. Amen. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some discipline. Amen. Doing right's not always easy, but in the end, it is worth it. The Bible says that he that goeth forth weep and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But may I show you something about Galatians chapter 6? I got to give this to you quickly, okay? Look at verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The sowing and reaping in Galatians 6 is a continuation of what was being addressed in Galatians chapter 5, which is the battle that's going on in every believer between the spirit and the flesh. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. See, there are two directions in your sowing. And that law of sowing and reaping, it works in your job, it works in your marriage, it works everywhere. But we're talking about spiritual things right here in the context of Galatians chapter 6. And you can either sow to the flesh, which is fulfilling the works of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. It's the works of the flesh that show up in Galatians 5:19. Or you can sow to the Spirit, which produces the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. So our relationship to the spirit and to the flesh is determined by what seeds we're sowing. And when we do reap, we'll either reap to the flesh, which is the corruption, the rot. There's no righteousness, there's no peace, there's no joy in our lives. Or we will reap to the spirit life everlasting, that is fruit and enjoyment of all that is ours in Christ when we believe the gospel. But it's up to you. May I say that? It is up to you and I. You and I are probably as close to God tonight as we want to be. Amen. And if you want to be closer, make the investment. Amen. Get up tomorrow, and before you read your news feed, open your Bible. Amen. And before you make a phone call, make a heaven call on your knees and see if that doesn't affect the direction of your day. Because you're sowing in one of two directions. Amen. Amen. You're going to get one of two outcomes. Life everlasting or corruption. And by the way, can I tell you, look at Galatians chapter 5. Look down there at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And then at the end of the chapter, in verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Did you see that passage on on that contract, that conflict between the flesh and the spirit is bracketed by your relationships with other people. Because when you're right with God, it affects your relationships with other people. And when you're not right with God, that affects your relationships with other people. Amen. So when we're in order vertically, it has to spill over horizontally. And don't tell me that you hate the people of God and you can't stand church and you can't stand so-and-so and sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so, but you love Jesus. You're a liar. Amen. You're deceiving yourself. When you love God, you love other people. That's the way this works. Amen. So in Galatians chapter 6, let me give this to you. I want to show it to you in its context. Look again down there in verse 10. All right, this is where we start. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do you know what the context of sowing and reaping in Galatians 6 is? It is the household of faith. It's not just a universal law. It's not just a natural law. It's a household law. You got any of those laws at your house? Amen. God's got some of those laws for your house. We need to find out what they are and obey them. So I want to give this to you really, really quick. A household rule. Let me show you four of them. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And this has to do with sowing in your relationship to God. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, look at that next phrase. Ye which are spiritual. Ye which are spiritual. You know somebody in the church is spiritual. Somebody's not. Do you know the difference? What you've been sowing, that's the difference. When you sow to the Spirit, when you sow the right things, do you know what you reap? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Do you know when you're spiritual, God will use you to do things that you can't do if you're not spiritual? Now, I'm not here to judge who is and who is not spiritual, but I just read the text. Ye which are spiritual, which means if you're not spiritually minded, you've disqualified yourself. And if you're not spiritually minded, it's because you have not sowed to yourself the right seeds in relation to your relationship with God. We need to sow into our relationship with God. Bible reading, prayer, family devotions. There's a maintenance factor. The people whom God uses is not an accident. God uses men and women who have invested in their relationship with God. You're going to get out what you put in. And I'm telling you, if you spend your days binge watching your favorite streaming service, hours and hours on social media, if you're a news junkie, you're going to miss out on usefulness to your Creator, and you're not going to be able to contribute when opportunities arise because you have not contributed the right kind of seed to be spiritual so that God can use your life. It's in the context. Look at this. Verse 2, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that is in relation to restoring one who has fallen, who is overtaken in a fault. In verse 1, you sow not only in your relationship to God, you sow in your relationship to others. If you sow compassion toward others, we stand to reap restoration. Now, you can't restore everybody. Not everybody is restorable. Not everybody. For you and I, I'm talking about for us. There's nothing too hard for God, but I'm going to tell you what. There's some people that aren't restorable to God because their heart is not toward the Lord. You can stiff-arm the Lord if you choose to. If you want to be near God, you got to draw near to God, and then He makes the next move. He made the first move at Calvary. Now the ball's in my court, in your court. Amen. But if we want to see our lives be useful to others, it's going to require sowing some compassion. And when we sow compassion, we can reap restoration. See, it's not just sowing and reaping to oneself. We're sowing and reaping together. You are your brother's keeper. When you look around, okay, got sickness in the church? I wouldn't know. This is my first time at White Oak. I don't know who's here and who's not here. But there are some people probably that are not here that are always here. And if there's somebody that's not here that's always here, somebody in this church ought to find out why they're not here. Amen. Some of you already know because you keep up with one another, because you love one another, Because you want to see each other be faithful. Because you don't want to see a brother overtaken in a fault. And if you do find somebody overtaken in a fault, you want to do to them what you hope they would do to you if you were overtaken in a fault. And it's going to mean sowing some compassion so you can reap some restoration. Amen. Fulfilling the law of Christ means ministering to others. And that takes spiritual maturity, by the way. The fruit of the Spirit that shows up in Galatians chapter 5, you wouldn't know that you needed that. You would have no opportunity to manifest that if there weren't people in the family of God that rubbed you the wrong way. Hey, Jesus said, big deal, you love your friends. The Pharisees love each other. How about loving your enemies? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Loving your preacher when he stomps on your toes on Sunday morning. Amen. That takes spiritual fruit. Amen. Love and joy and peace. When you lose your job, when you lose the election, can you have joy in your heart? Hey, I'm telling you, listen, some of you, if you're going to have joy, you're going to have to disconnect from some of this technology, because if you keep giving yourself a steady diet of everything that's going on in the world and mask mandates and mandated vaccinations and misplaced political opportunities and priorities, I'm telling you, it's going to rob you of your joy. You're going to have to sow to something else. Amen. And then we have in verses 3 through 5 in relationship to ourselves. Look at verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I love the Bible. It's balanced. Amen. Up there in verse 2, bear one another's burdens. In verse 5, bear your own burden. You say, are those contradictory principles? Absolutely not. Sometimes you need to bear each other, but you always need to have the mindset, I'm gonna bear my own burden until I can't. And then I'll take some help. And while I bear my own burden, I'm gonna look for somebody else's burden to bear. See, we need to sow to ourselves responsibility. And if we'll sow to ourselves responsibility, we'll reap to ourselves rejoicing. Verse 4, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. While we should help each other, we should not look for someone else to do our part. Listen, it's not somebody else's. I'm all for prayer requests, but I've seen it as a pastor. There are people that will ask other people to pray for their prayer requests before they pray for their own prayer requests. That's pathetic. If your first response when something tragic happens in your life is to go to your Facebook page instead of going to your knees, there is something desperately wrong with your spirituality. Amen. We need to be responsible for ourselves in prayer. I'm for supporting missions, amen. But I wouldn't pay somebody else to do my job. You've got a responsibility. There are people in your community that only you can reach. And I'm going to Zimbabwe to reach souls. I can't reach people in your county, but you can reach people in your county, amen. So you got to take your responsibility for your field, and I got to take responsibility for my field. And if we'll sow some responsibility, we'll reap some rejoicing. I hear it all the time in local church context. Boy, I tell you what, somebody really ought to. You fill in the blank. Maybe you're the one that ought to fill in the blank. Amen. In relation to ourselves. Then finally, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Can I tell you the truth? I'm not. Listen, I have the utmost respect to being somebody else's pulpit. I really do, honestly. You know when I got peace about preaching this message? When I heard from the pastor he wasn't going to be here. Because there are some things that are easier to hear when the pastor's not present. Now, he's listening, and he's probably really nervous right now. But I'm going to show you what the Bible said. Y'all believe the Bible?
Amen.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. You know what you are? You are those who are taught in the word.
Amen.
You know who your pastor is? He's the one that teaches in all good things.
Amen.
Do you know that that describes a reciprocal relationship?
Yep.
Your pastor teaches good things to you, and so you communicate unto him in all good things. That is the Bible. That's the King James Bible. Amen.
Amen.
So this thing's going to work in relation to your pastor. If you will sow some support, you will reap some truth. And I believe God's given you a pastor that invests in your spiritual well-being. He prays. He seeks the mind of the Lord. He studies his Bible. He gets in this pulpit to feed you, to give you something from heaven. He cares for you. He watches for your soul. He warns you, not because he's against you, but because he loves you. Amen. He teaches you the word of God. He reproves you when you need it. He warns you of the dangers ahead. And he does that because he's God's man for God's people. And he's preaching God's word. And that is not a one-way relationship.
Amen.
That is a two-way street. And right here in the context of sowing and reaping. And I'm telling you, listen, I don't know the story with White Oak, okay? I know Pastor Ellis. That's how I found out about this church. I know Pastor Ellis loves your preacher. I know Pastor Ellis believes in your preacher. You live in a time where there are a lot of hirelings out there that have seized upon an opportunity to be irresponsible toward the flock of God. COVID's given like this blank check to these sorry, lazy hirelings to cancel church, not to reduce services, to have to do as little as possible. Amen. You still got a full schedule of services. Your preacher still gets in here and preaches the word of God and tells you what God says and doesn't bow down to the spirit of the age. Amen. You need to thank God for God giving you a preacher. And you need to recognize that you've got a responsibility in this thing. Amen.
Yes.
It's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. And when you invest in him, his fruit abounds to your account. And when you do invest in your pastor, and look, let's be honest, there's a financial component. That's the context. That's the word communicate. Run the reference. Hebrews 13, Philippians chapter 4. It's all over the New Testament. Now I'm not trying to be weird. I'm not trying to be awkward. I've been a pastor of a small Baptist church. I feel of some authority to say a few of these things, okay, even though I don't know your preacher and your situation. But listen to me. I look back here at that wall and I see a church that believes in giving to missions. Amen? That's a blessing. Do you know? Now, these are hard things. I believe the Lord's directed me to do this, and you take it or leave it, like it or lump it. I'm going on down the road. I got somewhere to be Sunday. God bless you. If you found out that my neighbor didn't have any groceries, and you heard that I went down to the grocery store and loaded up a bunch of sacks of groceries, took them to my neighbors and fed their whole family, you'd say, man, that old Brother Lee, he's all right. He cares about his neighbors. If you found out that I fed my neighbors and didn't feed my own children, you'd say, that sorry stinking rascal, he's about good for nothing. Amen. Amen. I'm for the gospel going around the world. I'm for the gospel going to Alabama. Amen. Amen. That's, you know what we're trying to do in Zimbabwe? We're just trying to do in Zimbabwe what y'all are trying to do right here in middle Alabama, central Alabama. Man, it's worth investing in. Those men back there, they're worth investing in. But this thing has more to, it's got more to do than just money. Can I tell you, when your preacher's under your skin, and if you hang around long enough, he will be. Amen. He's going to say something that rubs you the wrong way. He's going to irritate you. He's going to step on your toes. He might even do something wrong. I mean, I'm pretty sure Pastor McAfee's never done anything wrong, but he might eventually, someday, one day, do something wrong. If you'd quit fussing and murmuring and griping and complaining about every misstep or potential mistake that your pastor makes and roasting him over Sunday dinner with your kids present, and instead allocate that kind of energy into praying for your preacher, that he would be right with God, that he'd have the power of God, that he'd know what to preach from the Word of God, you would not only be a blessing to him and other people in your church every time you come through the doors, in as much as you prayed for your preacher, you would be in a better condition to receive something from heaven through the mouth of your pastor if you prayed for your preacher.
Amen.
Amen. I'm for praying for missionaries. I'm absolutely for praying for missionaries. Why don't we have a pastor prayer card?
Amen.
Why you got a bunch of people you don't know on your refrigerator? Amen. Well, amen. Hey, church, I'm through. Verse 9, let's look at it again. And let us not be weary in well-doing. In relation to God, in relation to others, in relation to ourselves, in relation to our pastor. That's right there in the context. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen? Thank you for letting me come. I hope I hadn't meddled. I preached to you the Word of God. I won't apologize for that.
Amen.
We stayed in the text. We did. I don't have an axe to grind. Don't have anything to prove. Amen. Just trying to help. Amen. Appreciate your attention tonight. I hope that you'll meditate on these things. Please take a prayer card off the table back there. If you've got any questions about Zimbabwe, I would love to hear those questions. We'd love to tell you more about it. Pray for one another. Got some sickness in the church. Pray for one another. That everybody be back in their place on Sunday, ready to hear from heaven. And if you hadn't prayed for your preacher this week like you should, amen. Redouble those efforts in between now and Sunday. Amen. See if the Lord won't touch his body and his spirit. And maybe he'll have an extra touch from heaven when he gets in his pulpit on Sunday. That'd be a blessing. Amen. All right, let's stand together. Brother, do you have anything? All right. Okay. Well, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Thank you again for being in church. Thank you, Pastor McAfee, if you're listening, for allowing me to come. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us tonight to sow to the Spirit and to enjoy the benefits of a harvest unto everlasting life. God, I pray that the seeds we've been sowing to the flesh, that we'd cut that off, that we'd be patient as we get the rest of that stuff out of the ground, that we'd root it up, Lord, and in relationship to our communion and fellowship with you, O God, that we'd be spiritual because we're putting something into the relationship. I pray, God, in relation to others, that we'd be compassionate. I pray in relation to ourselves, Lord, that we'd be responsible. And Lord, I pray that you'd help this church to love on their pastor, to invest in that relationship, and to communicate with him.